morning. Joy in the evening, you keep me dancing. In every season, whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy. I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing. In every season, whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy. Why would I fail to sing of your praises even when troubles come? Why would I not worship forever, cause I'm so good you've done. I'm not ashamed, I'm a sinner saved, and I'm not afraid anymore. What the world calls foolish, you call freedom. Now I've got no back anymore.
I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season. Whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy. I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season. Whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy.
Joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season. Whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy.
I've got joy in the sunshine, joy in the rain. You keep me dancing again and again. Whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy. Joy in the sunshine, joy in the rain. You keep me dancing again and again. Whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy.
I've got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart,
I've got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, I've got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, hallelujah. I got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, I got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, I got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, hallelujah. I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season. Whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy. Joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season. Whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello, we're on. It's like on those Zoom calls, isn't it? Can't hear you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to SVC. I'm Linda. I'm one of the worship leaders here. I've had a song on my heart all week. We had an Easter Saturday event here for the youth. I still class myself as the youth, so I came along. I'll still be youth, I reckon, when I'm 80. And so I was here with a lot of other people, and we sang a song called Joy. And isn't it true that, like, you know, the week can happen. I don't know what your week's been like, but we've all come here today with whatever has been going on in our week. And I've had some stuff going on in my week that I haven't had any control over. And I've had this song on in my car throughout. And I've actually sung it a bit louder every time it gets a bit trickier. Because the lyrics in the song say, "You keep me dancing in every season. Whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy." Because life just happens to us, doesn't it? And the thing is, we can't do anything about that sometimes. So the only thing we can do something about is ourselves, our faith, our strength, our joy. So this song has really been with me. This morning I walked in. If you'd have seen me at 9 o'clock this morning, you'd have thought, well, she doesn't look like she's got a lot of joy. And I didn't. I was sort of, I got up, I got a bad cold. I was thinking, oh, I don't feel well. Feeling a bit sorry for myself. Yesterday I was in London. I had my purse stolen from the top of my bag. So be careful in London, guys. I know they tell us this, but I didn't realise. And to be honest, well, I did realise, but I never felt anything. They were really good at it. I'm going to give them that. And they took that purse. I went to pay for my meal last night. Thankfully, I was with a friend or I'd still be washing up. And she paid for my meal. So, you know, and then I went, and I was okay about it, really, because I just thought, well, no one's died. It's a purse. Who cares? Let's move on. And then this morning, I went to pay for my parking. Of course, I can't on Ringo because my car's been stopped. I was like, ugh. And then I thought, Linda, where is your joy in the morning, joy in the evening? Whatever happens, we're dancing. So that's my thing for you today. Now, you might not have been with us on Easter Saturday, so we're going to do a little bit of a pre-teach of joy. And if you know it, you can just sing out because that will help everyone sitting near you, okay? But before I do that, I wonder if we could have Psalm 28, verse 7 up on the screen. Okay, so it says here, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy and with my song I praise him." And don't you notice in life those people around you who have this joy, the joy that, you know, it can be, lots of things can be going on for them. But what you noticed first and foremost is their joy. And that's what I want everyone here today and across Sitting Board in any of the churches. I want them to go home with that joy so that people from outside of our churches think, what is going on in their life? Because whatever they've got, I'd like a bit of that. And then we show God's love, don't we? So we're going to teach this to you. So we're going to start with the chorus. It starts with the chorus. "I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season. Whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy." So if I can help my get my singers with me, because I haven't got as much voice. So "I've got
joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season. Whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy. I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season. Whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy."
And then we go into the verse, okay? We've got two verses, so the words are slightly different, and it goes, "Why would I not sing of your praises even when troubles come? Why would I not worship forever, praising the good you've done?" It goes into, "I'm not ashamed, I'm a sinner saved. I'm not afraid anymore. What the world calls foolish, you call freedom. Now I won't hold back anymore. Why would I not sing of your praises even when troubles come? Why would I not worship forever? I've seen the good you've done. I'm a sinner saved. No, I'm not afraid anymore. What the world calls foolish, you call freedom. Now I won't back anymore. I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You
keep me dancing in every season, whatever comes tomorrow. I've got joy. I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season, whatever comes tomorrow. I've got joy.
Okay, and then we've got verse 2, and it's the same tune. Okay, and we've got verse, and it goes into the chorus. Slightly different chorus after verse 2, because you've got this bit that goes, I've got joy in the sunshine, joy in the rain.
You keep me dancing again and again. Whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy.
I've got joy in the sunshine.
I've got joy in the sunshine, joy in the rain. You keep me dancing again and again. Whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy.
And then we've got a bridge.
I've got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, I've got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, I've got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, hallelujah. Joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, I got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, I got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, hallelujah.
I think you've got it. Let's stand together. Let's stand to worship God together this morning and make sure that we've all got joy this morning. Let's go, Tony.
I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season, whatever comes tomorrow. I've got joy. I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season, whatever comes tomorrow. I've got joy. Your praises even when troubles come. Why would I not worship forever? I've seen the good you've done. I'm not ashamed, I'm sinner saved. I'm not afraid anymore. When the world calls foolish, you call freedom. No, I won't fight anymore. I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season, whatever comes tomorrow. I've got joy. I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season, whatever comes tomorrow. I've got joy. I'm letting go. What in your presence, that's till the sun comes up. You make me strong whenever I praise you, Jesus. You fill my cup. Now I'm not ashamed, I'm a sinner saved. I'm not afraid anymore. When the world calls foolish, you call freedom. No, I won't go back anymore. I've got joy in the morning, joy in in every season, whatever comes tomorrow. I've got joy. I've got joy in the sunshine, joy in the rain. You keep me dancing again and again. Whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy. I've got joy in the sunshine, joy in the rain. You keep me dancing again and again. Whatever comes tomorrow, I've got joy. I've got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, I've got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, I've got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, hallelujah. I got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, I got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, I got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, hallelujah. I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season, whatever comes tomorrow. I've got joy. I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season, whatever comes tomorrow. I've got joy.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never. All is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow's ordered my steps. So this is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior.
Fail. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord. And He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God.
Amen, hey? Thank goodness that we can trust in God. Okay, now notices this week. I've had one from Diane Cole to say that the daily bread notes are in pigeonholes, should you normally have one. So that's for that. And before we move on, do we have any April birthdays this week? I think we were a bit low on April birthdays last week, so I'm hoping that I've got the jackpot this week. Is there one? We've got one over here. We've got a birthday. Is it his birthday? Oh, is Marion? Oh, thanking you. I think we better sing to them, don't you? They might be a bit old for the birthday box. I don't know. There's a football here. It's always popular. Okay, happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Okay. Well, we're going to move in again. I've just got to get my music ready. I've been so excited with all the music today. All my music's in a right old pickle here. But we're going to move on to two more worship songs together. The first one is This Is Amazing Grace, because every time we mess up, every time, it doesn't matter. Because if we go to our Lord and we are genuinely sorry, that grace is there for each and every one of us, isn't it? So that's our first song. And then after that one, we're going to sing Battle Belongs. Because, you know, again, a bit like joy in the morning, joy in the evening. This has become a little bit of a mantra of mine. Because when we're worried and when we're having to come up against difficulties, the best thing we can do, isn't it, is to fight on our knees with our hands lifted high. Because he knows how this is going to end. We don't know how it's going to end at that moment, but he does. So we just put it all to God, don't we? So that's why I've chosen Battle Belongs as well. In today's story that David's going to preach to us after, you'll see how some of these songs are linking in with today's message. Okay, so we're going to stand together. This is Amazing Grace.
Who brings the chaos back into order?
is unfailing love, that you would take my place. Power of our God and Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you.
As we just get our breath back this morning, we're just going to sit down. I'm just going to play a little bit. And the children, I'm going to invite you to go out to your groups now. Okay, I hope you have a great time. When we come to the Lord in prayer, that's what we're doing, isn't it? We're taking all those fears, all those worries, all those battles, and we're just telling God exactly how we're feeling. And then we just lay it there, don't we, at his feet. And we say, you know how this is going to finish. You know how this is going to end. We only know the bits that we know. We might only know bits through the media. We might only know bits through our local surroundings. But we trust as Christians that God, he's got the picture. He knows all about this. He knows all of those leaders. He knows all of those worries that we take to him. And we're just going to enter a time of intercessions here together now. So Almighty God, we rejoice with Christians throughout the world that we have been reconciled with you through the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you to hear our prayers for the church, the world, and people in need. Gracious God, like Thomas, we still face times of doubt, but we know that we are not alone in having such thoughts, and that you, our Father in heaven, continue to love us. Living God, we pray for your church throughout the world, and particularly for those Christians who are persecuted because of their love for you. We pray for your strength and guidance for the leaders of all Christian churches that meet here in Sittingbourne. We pray for us, the Baptist Church, and we ask for your blessing on our deacons and our leaders. Please show each of us how we can serve you in our local community. Creator God, we thank you for your beautiful world. Help us to look after it and guide all leaders nationally and locally to make wise decisions on our behalf. We pray that all countries which are suffering violence and injustice will, in due course, find peace and reconciliation. We pray that the leaders of all nations will uphold what is right and good and seek to serve all of their people. We pray for all organisations and individuals who are trying to bring peace in places that are suffering violence, war, and terrorism. In a moment of silence, Lord, please, we're going to pray for any country that is on our mind today. Faithful God, we hold before you those whose lives have been damaged and all who find it difficult to trust in you. We pray that you will push aside their doubts and fears and bring them hope, comfort, healing, and an inner peace. Loving God, we pray for all who bear the burdens of pain, illness, worry, and depression. We pray that they may be aware of your presence and have an understanding that you bear those burdens with them and are always working towards their healing and wholeness. In a moment of silence, let's just pray for anybody we know who needs God's healing power today. Merciful God, we commend into your hands those who have died, either recently or at this time of year. You gave them breath and loved them through their journey of life. Please provide your peace and comfort to all who mourn the loss of loved ones. And thank you for the promise of eternal life for all who put their trust in your Son, Jesus Christ. Everlasting God, we thank you that our time of worship renews our faith and trust in you and your risen Son, Jesus Christ. Send us out into the next coming week ready to show your love by serving other people. Amen. David will be up to to talk to us very soon. And whenever anyone's preaching, we always ask if there's a song that they would like, as you know, because they're as they're preparing their talk. And David asked if we could include the next song. So the next song is quite a quiet song and it's quite a reflective song. And I would encourage you, if you want to sit and sing, that's fine. If you want to use this as a continuation of our prayer time, that's fine. If you want to stand, that's fine. So whatever, however you want to talk to God through this song is entirely up to you. But it starts with, hide me now under your wings. Cover me within your mighty hand. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God.
Hide me now.
The oceans rise and thunders roar. I will soar with you above the sun. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. Be still and know you are God. I will be still and know you are God.
Thank you to Linda and the team for leading the first part of our service this morning. Nathan has asked that we look at a portion of scripture from John chapter 21, which we'll be reading shortly. And it's something that happened after the Easter weekend, after the Easter resurrection. Many of you I know will have heard many talks and sermons on this passage. Others perhaps who are newer to the Christian faith may not, and perhaps there are people here who have never even read this passage. But I trust that there'll be something for each one of us from the Lord this morning that to take home with us, to think about, to pray about, maybe to be challenged about. But before we look at this story, do we ever stop and wonder why certain parts of the Bible have been written? In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, we read, the Bible says, everything written in the Bible had been written in the past, and it was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement, they might provide us with hope. So this morning, we realize that the Bible is written on purpose, and it's all written by God. Another verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this says all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. See, the Bible isn't just a book that encourages, it's there to perhaps sometimes rebuke us, to correct us and to train us in the for every good work. Now, humanly speaking, Nathan saw us through chapter 20 last week, and humanly speaking, that would feel like an ideal place to close the gospel. Because after the resurrection of Jesus, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, who doesn't recognize him. But then when Jesus said, Mary, she said, Master. Her testimony was that she realized it was Jesus. And Jesus tells her to go and tell the disciples that he was alive. A while later, Jesus shows himself to the disciples, shows them his hands and his side and his feet. But Thomas, as we heard last week from Nathan, wasn't with them. When Thomas did arrive, the disciples said, we've seen Jesus. And we know that from the story from last week that Thomas said, unless I see, I'm not going to believe. So when Jesus appeared the second time to the disciples, Thomas was there. And Thomas was challenged by Jesus. Jesus said, I'm here, here's my hands, here's my feet, here's my side. Touch me. Thomas said, "My Lord, my God." To which Jesus replied, "You believe because you've seen me. But blessed are those who haven't seen and yet have believed." And that includes you and me, because we haven't seen Jesus literally, but we believe because of the witness of the gospel. And so because Jesus is now risen, because we've got the proof that Jesus is risen, it would seem like a good place to end this gospel. But it doesn't end there. There's one more chapter that, as I said, Nathan wants us to look at. At the end of the chapter, Jesus challenges Peter three times by saying, "Do you love me?" Now, of course, Jesus knew that Peter loved him. You may remember back before the crucifixion, Peter denied his Lord. And so here, Peter is being reinstated. So let's look at verses 1 to 14 that Nathan's asked us to look at. Let's read the passage through, and then we'll make some comments on the way through. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time that Jesus appeared to him, to his disciples, after he was raised from the dead. So let's briefly have a look at the story. First of all, some of the disciples are going fishing. Not all of them, but just some of them. And you know, it's good to for us to get together sometimes, not all of us maybe, but just a few, and to encourage each other. It's good to have fellowship with Christians outside of a Sunday as well as on a Sunday. It wasn't all the disciples present, but it's worth noting that Thomas was with them this time. Maybe he'd learned a lesson of faith and belief and didn't want to miss out. So he decided to walk closely to the other disciples for encouragement. Maybe on our own sometimes we struggle and we need encouragement from each other. The Bible talks about building each other up in our most holy faith. So off they go fishing, toiled all night, struggled all night and caught nothing. Now I've never gone fishing, but some people say it's relaxing. Others might say it was boring. But if you throw a fishing rod into the water, doubtless the main aim is to catch a fish. Of course, these disciples They were professional fishermen who used nets. So it wasn't just a rod, they wanted to catch more than one. And as a fisherman, Peter would know the best area to fish. But this night, despite their struggles, they caught nothing. Now, how were they feeling in the morning? They'd worked all night, they'd struggled all night, caught nothing. Do you think they were frustrated? Do you think they were fed up, disappointed? How do we feel at times when things don't go our way? You know, last Sunday morning was Easter Sunday. Now, I don't know if any of you were affected by the strangely named Storm Dave. Last Saturday, Sunday morning, we looked out of our window and we have a small plastic greenhouse which was had concrete pots around it on Saturday, but not on Sunday morning. On Sunday morning, it was halfway up the garden on its side, pots broken, plants out of the pots. Frustrated. Yes, we were frustrated. Couldn't do anything about it because we were on our way down here for the breakfast. But how do we feel? How do these fishermen feel? The Bible tells us that man has dominion over the fish of the sea, but it doesn't say that they're always going to be there to be caught. Jesus knew the situation and he was going to perform a miracle. After a fruitless night's toil, Jesus showed himself. Disciples might have been at a loss to understand why things had turned out as they had. And as Linda said earlier, we don't always understand how things turn out or why they do. But they were about to learn a lesson on God's power and how nothing is impossible with God. Remember, he'd already appeared twice to the disciples in the locked room. So that should have taught them something. And you would have thought the fact that they'd been with Jesus previous to the crucifixion, as well as after, that they would recognize him. But even after seeing him standing on the shore, they still didn't recognize him. The lesson for us here, that Jesus is never that far away from us. The Bible says he sticks closer than a brother. You know, even if we don't recognize the fact, he is often nearer than we think he is. Often nearer than we recognize he is. So how does that affect our lives? I don't know if you've ever seen a plaque. Some of you may have got it in your homes that says, Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, and the silent listener to every conversation. Now, I wonder if we've got that in our homes. I wonder if that would affect our lives. Would we say and do things that we do if we realised and recognised Jesus was standing there right by us? Looking at the answer they gave him, I think that these fishermen had enough toiling. Because when Jesus said, "Have you caught anything?" the short answer was no. Possibly contented with their struggles, but Jesus was going to show himself to these men. They didn't recognize him at first, but he showed himself as one who cared. He said, "Have you got any fish?" Then he shows himself in power. "Cast your nets over the side and you will get some fish." Not you might, but you will. And see what happened when they did what Jesus told them? Their obedience brought success. Such a large catch of fish that they struggled to bring it in. But John recognized then that it was Jesus. And he said, "It's the Lord." Peter did something that perhaps we might think was a bit strange. When we go swimming, men probably wear trunks and ladies wear a swimsuit. But you don't put your coat on. Peter wrapped his fisher's coat round him. Some have suggested that it was made of leather or an oil cloth. which would keep some of the warmth in and the water out. Others have suggested it may just be a mark of respect because he realised it was God. But the important thing to notice here is the fact that Peter had a desire to get to Jesus. Peter had a desire. He took John at his word, forgot all about the fish, leaving the others to struggle with this great catch of fish. When they got to land, there was this lovely breakfast barbecue all ready for them. The Bible says that when they landed, they saw a fire with coals, and there was already fish and bread on it, showing the power of God. We sang a song just now that said, nothing is impossible with God. So briefly, I want to consider these lessons that we can learn, or personally may be reminded of things that we do know. And you'll see the headings in your notice sheet. The first one is failure and frustration. Firstly, these men, professional experienced fishermen, who knew the best time, and if you'll excuse the pun, the best place to fish. You know, they were going to learn a knowledge, a lesson, that their own knowledge and human accomplishment was going to let them down. Their own wisdom and power were going to fail them. I'm sure it was a long night for these men. They caught nothing despite being out there all night. But you know, even though they were experienced, and some of us, if we've been walking with the Lord a long time, may call ourselves experienced Christians. But I wonder how many of us like waiting. When the Lord says, wait, I'll give you an answer, but you wait. It's in my time. You know, I would love it. I have family who are not Christians. And I would love it if God said to me, on a certain day, at a certain time, in a certain way, I'm going to save them. But if he did that, I would accept it. I would say, lovely, thank you, Lord. But then would I be praying for them like I earnestly do? Would I be relying on God in the way that I do at the moment? You see, unfortunately, we don't like waiting. At least I don't. We need to rely on God. We need to learn patience and trust. We've just been through the Easter story and the crucifixion. And you know, when that story was foretold in the Old Testament, it was about 700 years before the actual event. None of us will be kept waiting that long for an answer because we won't be here. But while he knows what's in mind for each one of us, he's never in a rush to answer. We have to wait because his timing is perfect. I won't ask if you will put your hand up if you actually love waiting in a traffic jam. Yesterday we were supposed to be picking our grandson up quarter to 12 to take him to Sheppey as he was running up the line of a football match. Get him there by about quarter past 12. We picked him up at quarter to 12 in Iwade. Sheppey Bridge was shut for roadworks. 10 to 1, an hour and 5 minutes to get across. I must admit, I found that very frustrating. I didn't want to wait in the queue of traffic. Have you ever been in a shopping queue? Gone to a till and thought this is the shortest queue? The person in front puts the shopping through and what happens? The card's not accepted. And you're waiting there and they're saying, sorry. And you say, that's fine. Don't worry. That's fine. Then you see all these other queues going past you. Frustrating. We don't like waiting. We want answers now. We want answers from God now. And maybe it's not just us as individuals. Maybe as a church, we're trying to push things. Maybe we're saying, I want an answer now. You're not waiting God's timing. You know, I'm not sure we all mean that's fine if we get into a situation that's frustrating. It can creep in at any time. I'm sure these guys, these disciples, were frustrated by the lack of catch. But they were about to learn a lesson. A lesson which is good for us to learn as well. You know, it's not what we accomplish for God, but it's our relationship with Him that counts. God doesn't ask us to be successful. He asks us to be faithful in our work for Him. He gives the increase. We can't save people. My wife is a keen gardener. She loves putting plants in. She looks after them. She tends them. She waters them. Puts them in the sun when the sun comes out. But she can't make them grow. It's only God that can give the increase. So lesson number one is to realise human choices, wisdom, strength, human, can cause failure. And our endeavours for Him are useless in our own strength. Lesson two comes in your notice sheet. Care and compassion. Look how Jesus greeted them. Kindly, gently. He didn't say, "You chaps have failed. I know you haven't caught anything. You've had a tough night. Well, it's got one of those things." He said, "Have you got any fish?" They said, "No." They still didn't recognize it was Jesus. Thought they were talking to a stranger. They didn't recognize His voice or His character. I wonder if we always recognize what Jesus, what God brings us through when we have problems and difficulties, frustrations. God is always there and always supplies our daily needs. He's a God that cares for us. Lesson three, aspirations and ambitions. What are our ambitions and aspirations in life? Christian life is simple in principle, but sometimes it's difficult to live out because we're human. Sometimes perhaps we get bogged down with money, fame, possessions maybe. Bible tells us that we should seek first the kingdom of God. Money, yes, we need it. And particularly today, maybe, with the cost of living going up and up. And our money seems to go down and down. But you know something? Despite those things, God owns the world. God owns my world. So meeting my financial needs is no difficulty for Him. My problem may be, I think my needs are my wants, and they are two completely different things. I might not get all I want, but God has promised to supply all my need. Security is found in God, not in a bank account. I may not have what the world has, but the world doesn't have what I have. Salvation through Christ and life after death. Now there's a couple of stories about, one is about a man who, a very rich man who died, and after the funeral service, somebody came up to the minister and said, "You knew that family very well, didn't you?" So he said, "Yes." Said, "Do you know how much he left?" "Yes." "I'll rephrase the question. I know I'm being nosy, but will you tell me how much he left?" And the minister said, "Yes, he left all of it." You see, you cannot take it with you. And the other little story is about a man who died. Before he died, he said to his wife, "You can have the car, the house, everything except the money. All the money that you, I have, I want you to put in the coffin. After the funeral, somebody said to her, did you do what he asked? She said, yes. She said, I added it up, every penny, put it in the coffin, and if he can cash the check where he's gone, he's welcome to it. You see, when we leave this earth, we cannot take anything with us. The Bible tells us that we came in with nothing, we're going to go out with nothing. Possessions. All I have is unknown to me at this time. We're stewards of what God has given to us. Fame and power. Those who have fame and power and control, we only have to look at presidents and prime ministers and see what a mess this world is in. Those who have fame and power appear to be the ones who mess things up. I would rather God be in control of my life. Because when I try to take charge, things get messed up. We're told that we should trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Lesson 3 is don't rely on your own wisdom or abilities. Let our service, let our ambition, let our aspirations be not to gain money, but to live a life of service to God and seek to let him lead and guide as we rely on his love for us. Paul, in writing to the Philippian church in Philippians 4 verse 11, says, I have learned to be content in whatever situation I find myself. Meaning he acquired the ability to be satisfied and peaceful regardless of external circumstances. And he wrote that when he was in prison. True contentment does not rely on outward circumstances, but on inward peace. It's an attitude learned through experience, hardship, and testing. We've got a couple of grandchildren, I think they must be about 5 and 7 years of age now. When they come and see us, one of the things they like to do is look through the toy catalogues that we have. And it's always, oh, I want this, I want that, I want that. And by the time you've gone through the catalogue, they want everything. But you know, in time, they will learn. Contentment is not something that we're born with. It's just an attitude learned through experience and hardship. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, Paul gives this advice to Timothy. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Be ye content with what you have. The great gain referred to here is not monetary gain, but inner peace, joy, and a secure relationship with God. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. So, the time is getting on now, and it's we'll get to now to lesson 4, provision and presence. As I said, I've never been fishing, but I understand that most fishermen don't like to be told how, where, or when to fish. Yet these men did what they were told by a stranger, as they were yet to recognise Jesus. Maybe they thought, well, we haven't got anything, it's worth a try. But whatever they thought, they did what they were told, and surprise, surprise, the nets were bulging with fish. John recognised Jesus and said, it's the Lord. Immediately Peter took John at his word and, as impetuous as ever, jumped overboard, went to Jesus as fast as he could. Now Jesus knew that they'd had a futile night's fishing and that they would be cold, tired and hungry. So he now showed his care as well as his divine nature by providing a breakfast barbecue. So what is the lesson here? Simply put, it is that God provides for us, and it is better to wait in patience for him to provide, lead, guide, and give direction, rather than going off in our own direction. Now, you know, this can mean, for somebody here personally. But it can also mean for us as a church. Sometimes we have good ideas. Sometimes we try and rush things. God provides for us, and we have to wait his timing. The Bible says that his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His timing is not our timing. And we need to wait in patience for him to lead, guide, and give us direction as individuals and as a church. Instead of being failed fishermen, let's become faithful followers, relying solely on God and not on our own humanity. So as we come to a close, let's just remind ourselves of some of the Bible verses for our encouragement. Hopefully they'll go up on the screen. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Jesus speaking says, "Do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or drink, or what you shall wear. Is not life more important than food, and body more than clothes?" Then he reminds them of his care by saying, "Look at the birds, they don't sow or reap or store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them, and you're more valuable than they are." Then there's a lesson about clothing. He says, "Look at the flowers. They don't dress themselves. God clothes them with all different colours. And if he does that, how much more will he supply for his children?" Then verse 33, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." Philippians 4, verse 19, "My God will supply all my need, not all my wants." And all these verses that we're reading now all have that little word, all. All these things will be added on to, it says in Matthew. "My God will supply all your needs." And that includes spiritual, emotional, natural and physical. 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your care on him." Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him." The Christian life is not part me, part God, but wholly surrendering to God's will. And finally, verses from Psalm 62. "My soul finds rest in God alone." This went with that song that we sang earlier. "My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, I shall never be shaken." Sometimes we feel frustrated and shaken when we're on our own. We rely on our own ambitions. But verses 5 to 8 encourage us to find rest in God alone. "My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation and my fortress." All the time we're trusting, this is true. When our faith wavers, we need to be reminded of God's goodness and God's faithfulness. "My salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock and my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people." So to close now, as we go into a new week, I wonder what God has said to us this morning. Trust God has spoken. Maybe somebody here who has questions may want answers. If you have got a friend here, well, you can ask them. You can ask one of the team, Linda, or any of the team that are up here. They will help you. After the service, my right at the back of the church, your left, downstairs, there will be prayer partners who will just love to talk to you, pray with you if you want them to, answer any questions. Please make use of them. They'd be delighted to talk to you. Let's just pray as the worship team come back to the stage. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have freedom in this country to look at your word. We have freedom to look at it, to read it, to study it, to be together. And we pray, Lord, that as we've looked at this passage that Nathan's asked us to look at today. We pray that we might have gained something that you have spoken to us about. Lord, we might have been challenged to be wholehearted for you. We might have been challenged on a different level, or we might have been encouraged. Lord, whatever you've seen our need, we pray that you will meet that need this morning. So as we come to the end of this service, Lord, we just pray you will continue to be with us throughout the rest of this day and into the new week. And Lord, we pray that we might not be those who are failed, but that we might be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Over to Linda. Thank you, Linda.
We're going to close the service with our final hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. It was written by William Runyon, 1870 to 1957, and the words still ring true today. Got a funny thing on the piano, sorry. Reverb thing on it. I don't know what's doing that. There we go.
Great is
I've just remembered one last notice before we say the grace. We have a baptism service next Sunday morning. So if there's anybody who is able to help move the covers for the baptistry after this service, we would be very grateful, because this evening there won't be as many potentially able-bodied people here who can help us with that. So obviously if you are here this evening, I think it's a testimony, this service this evening, be careful if you're standing at the front giving your testimony, because the baptistry will be open. So if there's anyone who can help us with that, we would be very, very grateful. And I think the words to the grace are going to come on the screen now. And we're going to just join in together saying, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please join us for tea and coffee in the lounge. Joy. I've just got to find it.
I'm a sinner saved. No, I'm not afraid anymore. When the world calls foolish, you call freedom. Now I won't look back anymore. I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You will be blessed in every season. I'll hear the curse tomorrow.
I've got joy. I've got joy in the morning.
Joy,
down in my heart, hallelujah. I've got joy, joy, joy. down in my heart I've got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart I've got joy, joy, joy. Down in my heart, hallelujah. I've got joy in the morning, joy in the evening. You keep me dancing in every season, whatever comes tomorrow. I've got joy. I've got joy in the morning.